I do appreciate Brother Stewart, and I appreciate his friendship. And there's been a few times I've called him up and I've said, "Brother, I need you to pray." And he's always faithfully prayed for us, and I certainly thank God for that. You have a pastor that loves you and cares for you, and you ought to be thankful for him and back him every way you can. There's not a lot of men left like Brother Ray, and I hold them dear. I love being around men of God that have blazed the trail and stood the test and been faithful. Now, my faith is not in Brother Ray, but my faith is in his God. And we've got to be careful not to put our faith in man, because man will fail us. But I'm thankful for the God of heaven that is able to keep us and settle us and use us for his glory and for his honor. I do have a portion of scripture on my heart tonight in the book of 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Just one verse of scripture. I like the book of 1 John. The theme of 1 John is "We Know." And boy, I'm glad we know some things. I'm glad we're not in the dark or in obscurity, but I'm glad that there are some things that we can know. But in verse 13 of this chapter is where I want to focus at tonight and bring a message that the Lord dealt with my heart back a few months ago about. And it's been a real blessing to me. And I don't know how other preachers are. I know from my own experience, God uses things in my life to give me scripture and help me. And I try to help others with what God has helped me with. And it's always been life experiences that God has used in my life to give me the messages that I believe a preacher, if he's going to preach, he's got to preach from the heart. And God just uses that in my life. Those things that I have gone through, those struggles, those difficulties, those trials, those tests, God uses those to put a message on my heart. And that is what's on my heart tonight. 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 13, if you would stand with me, out of honor to the Word of God, not an honor to me, but the honor of the Word of God, if you're physically able. And let's read this verse. The Bible says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand. And Lord, I realize where I stand tonight. I stand where I cannot stand alone. I stand in a holy place. And God, I want my life to be holy. I pray that you would use me tonight to help this dear pastor and these dear folk. And Lord, encourage your people tonight. I realize, Lord, that we're living in a day of discouragement. We're living in a day of deep trouble and deep depression in the lives of people. People struggling with their lives and spiritually struggling. God, I pray that you would help folks tonight. And use me, if it be your will, for just a little while to speak to your people. And Lord, I'll thank you and praise you for what you do. Hide me behind the cross in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to say first of all tonight that I am so thankful and grateful to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm thankful that God, when He saved me in 1966, in an old-fashioned revival, God delivered me from the bondage of sin. That night, He took up a residence in my heart, and He's never moved out. He's been there every step of the journey and every step of the way. I like what Brother Mark said a while ago. I'm glad He loves me today like He loved me yesterday. And you know, the thing about God is His love never grows and never diminishes. You say, "Well, how can you say that?" Because His love is perfect. And it doesn't need to improve. And His love doesn't ebb and flow like ours does. And His love for me remains the same as it did when I was lost. He loves the sinner. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But I'm so thankful that the night I got saved, He took up permanent residence in my heart and in my life. And hereby know we that we are in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And if you're saved tonight, you have someone living within you that is greater than he that is in the world. I'm thankful for that. I praise God that there's someone greater in me than this old outer man that's having to deal with all this mess in the world. I'm thankful that God has given me the Holy Spirit to indwell. Now, just because we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that we just haphazardly live. I believe we're to follow the Spirit and to obey the Spirit and let the Spirit lead and direct our lives. I do believe we can get in a mess with the Holy Spirit dwelling within us because we refuse to listen to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But boy, isn't it good when you follow Him, when you allow Him to direct your steps and to order your steps and you just follow the Holy Spirit, things are well. Now, it doesn't mean we won't have trouble, but it simply means God gives us the leadership, and not always is things smooth. I suppose some of the worst days of our lives have just been in the last 3 or 4 months. And we've been blessed with 5 wonderful children, and thank God for them. They're all saved on the way to heaven. I'm thankful for that. Their spouses are saved and on their way to heaven. We've got some grandchildren, and I believe God will save them when it comes time. But we had to bury 2 granddaughters this year already. And I don't understand it, but I'm glad the Holy Ghost inside, there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't understand it. In fact, when people ask me about it, I can't even explain it. All I can say to them is there's a peace, and I've got a peace inside. I know God's in charge and in control, and I'm not worried about the situation. I was talking to a sister-in-law of mine and my wife's sister, and of course they're of another faith than we are, and you know, sometimes people just don't really know what they believe, and she was asking me how I was, and I said, I've got perfect peace in my soul. And she cut me off and said, we'll have to talk about that at another time. I tell you, there's perfect peace, and that's because of the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in our lives. Well, I want to give you some things that the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. If you're saved tonight, He's doing these very same things. And by the way, I believe that what He does in your life, He's doing in mine. I believe what He's doing in my life, He's doing in yours. And if we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, if we're saved by the grace of God, you're not missing Him, because He said He'd be there. And I'm thankful that He is. I'm not waiting on getting Him. I'm not trying to get Him. I've got Him. When I got saved, He moved in, and I've been His lock, stock, and barrel ever since. But there are some things that the Holy Spirit's doing in me, and He's doing in you. And I'm thankful that a few months back, God showed me what He was doing and how he was directing my life. But the first thing I want to say tonight, what the Holy Spirit is doing is He is constraining us. You say, well, now, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I know the only time in the Scripture you see the word constrain in the New Testament is found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 14 and 15, where it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Now, I found out something. If the love of Christ constraineth us, the Holy Spirit's constraining us, because He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And He's constraining us. That word constrain means to hold together. It also means to arrest. And you think, well, what do you mean by arrest? Well, have you ever watched somebody that's been arrested? They're in handcuffs. If they're real bad criminals, they're not only in handcuffs, but they're strapped, or their wrists are strapped close to their waist, and their ankles are tied, and they barely can shuffle. And they're led around. You say, well, what is the Holy Spirit doing that for? Well, sometimes God has to arrest my heart and arrest me and keep me from getting out of bounds where I don't need to be, you see. But it goes one step farther than just being arrested. It says, and also it means to compel.
Well, I'm glad there's something out on the inside of me that constrains me and compels me to act right in the midst of all this turmoil, in the midst of all this struggle, in the midst of all the strife, and in the midst of all the things that are going on around us. I'm glad the Holy Spirit dwells in me to constrain me. You see, I can't go places that a lot of people go because there's a spirit inside that just don't want to go there. I can't do some things that a lot of people do because there's something about that Holy Spirit on the inside that says, now you don't need to be doing that. There's that still small voice that speaks and constrains me and keeps me balanced. And notice I said it means to hold together. When storms come, I'm thankful for the constraining power of the Holy Spirit to keep myself together. Have you ever noticed anybody that's lost and struggles come and problems come in their life and difficulties and they face things that are hard to deal with and it just seems like they just come apart. Their lives just come apart. They come unraveled. Not long ago, a few years back, I was at the hospital and I was visiting a lady that was in our church and she was in ICU in bad shape. And I was standing there and I was talking to her and having prayer with the family. And there was peace in that hospital room because she's saved and ready to go. But the little nurse come to me and she said, Preacher, there's a family next door here in a room that needs you to come in there and talk to them for a little bit. And I walked in that room, and there on the table lay a young lady and some young kids around her, probably in their teenage years, younger teenage years, and they're all crying and they're all sobbing. And she's laying there on life support, and this machine is breathing for her, and they just had brought her in just a few minutes before that. And I asked the nurse, I said, may I ask you what's wrong? And she said, this lady has overdosed on drugs. And she's not going to make it, Preacher. It's too late. She's already brain dead. And there she has children around. And they're weeping and crying. And I stepped in the midst of them and I said, can I have your attention just for a moment? I said, there's a Lord in heaven that loves you and cares for you and died for you. And can I have prayer with you right now? And I saw the eyes of those children and those family members in that room. And I saw their lives coming apart. And it dawned on me, they have nothing to hold them. They have nothing to constrain them. Their lives are a mess. And I bowed my head and I prayed and I asked God to somehow or another show them peace in their hearts. But you see, there's no peace in a lost man's heart. There's no constraining power in a lost man's heart. They're alone and by themselves. And by the way, the devil is laughing people to scorn. Because they've trusted in their own strength, trusted in their own powers, trusted in their own abilities. And my friend, we know better than that. As God's child tonight, I don't even trust in my abilities. I don't trust in my strengths. Because I know that it's God that gives the power to overcome the things that we face and the struggles that we have to go through. And I'm thankful that He constrains me. He holds me together. And I'm glad that there's places. You see, this world don't have anything for me. Someone may say, do you have problems with it? Yes, I've got problems. I don't go places. There are some places I just don't go. And you say, well, why not? Because I just don't have a desire to go those places. I have a desire to live holy. That's that inward man. That's not the outward man. The outward man, it has all the appetites it's always had. This outward man is going back to the dust from whence it came. The curse is on this outward man. But I thank God that the inward man is renewed every day. And that soul, that it is within us, it sinneth not. We're holy, sinless. And thank God one day we'll be delivered on the other side and our outward man will catch up with the inward man and we'll have that glorified body. Won't have the need of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit anymore. We'll dwell in His presence forever. And forever. But right now we need that constraining power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within. The second thing that the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives is He is controlling us. You say, well, what do you mean by controlling us? Well, the Bible says in Psalms that the steps of man are ordered by the Lord. Now, I know we like to quote that verse of Scripture, and I've heard people quote it in different ways. A lot of people quote it, the steps of a good man are directed by the Lord. But it doesn't say that, does it? It says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though for those that's been in the armed forces, we know what orders mean. It means that you've been given a command, and it's not an option. It is a command, and you're going to follow the orders. Listen to me. God directs our steps, yes, but He also orders our steps. I believe that we're to leave ourselves up to the leadership of the Holy Spirit every morning when we rise up. We ought to thank God for a new day of mercy. We ought to thank God for a new day of compassion. We ought to thank God for the potential of the new day, but then ask God through the leadership of the Holy Spirit to order our steps. And you say, well, what do you mean by order our steps? Listen, there may be someone in need, and God needs to cause our paths to cross. God needs to bring me face to face with that sinner that's nearest to hell. And so I can give them a gospel tract, tell them that Jesus loves them and will save them. But He controls me. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And if you're Spirit-filled tonight, you can walk contrary to the Spirit. You can quench the Spirit. Now listen to me. You can quench the Spirit. You can walk contrary to the Spirit, but you're going to be miserable in doing so. I found the best way to walk with Him is just to walk as He walks, just to live as He would want me to live, and not be rebellious and not be contrary to what He wants. As the lesson was in the Sunday school this morning, just be obedient. God don't want us to argue with Him. He wants us to just be obedient. He controls us. Listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 19, the Bible says, Paul writing says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? I mean, He has purchased us with a price. I'm not my own anymore. I don't belong to me. I belong to God. And as far as I know, when something belongs to somebody, they have the say-so over it. Is that correct? So He controls me. He should be controlling me right now. As I preach this message, I'm dependent on Him to give me the words to help somebody. You see, He helped me with this, and I wanted to help others. He controls us. You see, we're walking through unfamiliar territory, aren't we? The young children, young teenagers used to sing a song where we went to church where my dad pastored for several years, and I helped him as associate pastor, and our children grew up in that church, and they used to sing a song, "The Lord Knows the Way Through the Wilderness. All I have to do is follow." And that may be a children's song, but I like to sing it every now and then, because this is unfamiliar territory. We're walking through an unfriendly world. We're not living amongst a world that loves us and cares. As a matter of fact, Christ said that they were going to hate us because we're not of this world. We don't live like the world. We are the light of Christ, and they hate the light. Amen. They're not going to speak well of you. They're not going to like you. And if you're trying to fit into the world tonight, you're a square peg trying to fit in a round hole. If you're a child of God trying to fit into the world, you will not fit. You just can't do it. I don't care how far you go. You'll not be happy because you just don't fit there. But thank God I found a place I fit. I'm glad for Gateway, Brother Ray. I'm glad I can come down here all the way to South Carolina and find a place I fit. Amen. I'm glad I can come down here and get in a good church service and hear the choir singing, and the Lord can bubble up in my soul, and I can have tears of joy running down my face and lift my hands and rejoice. Boy, I'm telling you, that man, Brother Kenya, that prayed a while ago, that fella can, I mean, he can pray heaven down right around you, can't he? It is somebody some people that way that can just seem to get a hold of God, and God, you don't move into where God's at. God seems to move in where you're at. But I'm glad I found a place I can fit. And that is among God's people. And I find them all over the place where I go, all over the country. I find God's people where they love God and they like to worship God, and they're controlled by the Holy Spirit. We're walking through ungodly territory. I mean, this world. You can try. Listen to me. I've got friends that are unsaved. There's not a thing wrong with having friends that are unsaved, but I just can't hang around them. I can't associate with them. Oh, I'll talk to them on the phone. I'll speak to them on the street. I'll try to befriend them every way I can. But that's all the things in common that we have. We can't go and associate because there's differences. And I try to tell my children, you can have friends in the world, but you can't be a friend of the world. Because being a friend of the world is being at enmity with God, and you just can't fit there. Boy, I tell you, I'm glad the Holy Spirit controls us. Not only does He control us and constrain us, but I'm thankful for this. He convicts us. You know, I thank God for that night, 1966, when God convicted my heart of sin. Now, I've forgotten a lot of things since that night. I really have. There's things that my dad and mom will tell me that I've done, and I have no idea what they're talking about. I've totally forgotten them. But that is one night that is very fresh in my memory. In fact, I can go back there instantly, and I remember the night that God spoke to my heart, and I realized I was unsaved. And I was doomed and on my way to hell. I mean, I was convicted right there. If anyone had tried to tell me different, I knew better. Because there was a Holy Ghost that had come by my way and had convicted my heart. And the only thing that would help me is to get on my knees before a holy God and confess that I was a sinner and repent of my sins and believe on His name. That's the only thing that could help me. And that night I got saved. And I'll never forget, I wanted to tell everybody. I wanted to tell them everywhere I went, I got saved. And there was people looked at me strange, they didn't know what I was talking about. But even now, even today, even at my age, when I do something that I ought not have done, there's a convicting power that comes and troubles my heart. And I don't have to wallow in it. And I don't have to run around and say, oh me and oh my, there's an advocate that I can go to right away. And I can bow my knees and confess my sins. And He's faithful and just to forgive me my sins. Thank God He convicts me. I wouldn't have it any other way. Amen. In John chapter number 16 and verses number 8 through 11, one of the things that Christ said that the Holy Spirit was going to do when He came. Notice what He says, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin. That's conviction. Now, you say, well, does He convict everybody? I believe He does. Does He have grace for everybody? I believe He does. Then why doesn't He save everybody? Because there's a lot of people that won't believe. There's a lot of people that just won't, they just won't bow. They just won't repent. They just will not surrender to Him and submit to Him. Look, the best thing ever happened to me was in 1966, September of that year, at the end of a two-week revival. I couldn't tell you what the preacher preached, but the Holy Ghost wore me out on that church pew, and I found an altar prayer, and that is the best thing that ever happened to me. Best thing ever happened in my life was the night that Jesus moved in and the Holy Spirit took up His abode and has been walking with me ever since. And He reproves me when I'm wrong. And by the way, when the preacher gets up and preaches and reproves me, I don't get mad at the preacher. He's just a messenger. I don't get mad at God because He loves me. I'll tell you what I do. I get on my face somewhere and I ask God to help me and forgive me, and I want to move up closer to Him. I believe rather than getting mad because somebody's been living in your house where you are. Have you ever been there? Went to church and seemed like the preacher had been in your living room all week? And surely to goodness, somebody's done went and told on everything you've done. Well, it was. God, the Holy Ghost, came and told the preacher, this is what I want you to preach on. And just so happened, He loved you so much that He caused the preacher to make you think he was right in your living room. And by the way, the Holy Spirit was right in your living room. He convicts us. Thank God He convicts. He convicts us of sin. Oh, yeah, we can sin. We can get out of whack. We can get sideways. But I'm glad we have an advocate with the Father. And that verse of Scripture says, he says that you sin not. But it doesn't say, but if you sin. That conjunction there is not but the conjunction there is and. And if you sin. Say, well, what does that mean? That simply means God knows that we're fallible people. God knows we're not perfect. But he said, I've made an advocate for you. There's an advocate in heaven. There's the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father there to make intercession for me and for you. And he does so because he loves us. And he'll never forsake us. Though I've forsaken him, though I've failed him, he has never failed me. He convicts me of self sometimes. Does anybody like I am get self in the way? You're not like that, are you? I'm confessing tonight. I get in my way. I get in God's way. One of the hardest things for me to learn was how to wait on God. I get to thinking I know which way God wants me to go, and I head off in that direction and hope God catches up somewhere. I tell you, I've gotten myself in more messes by getting ahead of God, and sometimes I've gotten myself in messes by not moving when God said to move. You know, we can go either way. I believe we ought to be in such tune with God that we'd, like John the Beloved, hear his still small voice. Like Isaiah in chapter number 6, when he saw him high and lifted up and saw his glory and got his heart right, got his tongue right and his lips right, and his ears opened up and he heard God say, who shall go for us and who will we send? And Isaiah was willing to take a mission field where there was not going to be any converts. Read that. He said, how long, God? He said, till there's not a man. Till there's no one. And listen to me. God convicts you. If you're saved tonight, God convicts you when you're wrong. And some people act like they're never wrong. You know how you got some folks that just, when you say, you know, something about being wrong. Got a pastor friend in our area. He was in a revival service at another church, and the preacher got up and preached. I mean, he preached it hot and heavy. And the old preacher, the pastor, he got under conviction and went to the altar and prayed, and he had a member there that night. And he went to his church the next Sunday morning to get up to preach, and this member come to him and said, I don't think it's a good idea when you're somewhere else to go to the altar. And the preacher said to him, said, well, listen, when I got something wrong, I go to the doctor. When I'm sick, I go to get help. And I was in need of help that night, so I went to the great physician. Amen. Oh, don't tell me we don't need the altar. I'll tell you, the altar is the best place I've found to get things fixed up with God. And I have tried to wait till I get home because I don't want people thinking I've done something wrong. And so I'll just wait till I get home and it never crosses your mind. And if you ever got home and said, okay, Lord, I'm ready to take care of this now. And God said, no, it's too late now. You passed up the opportunity. And you have to wait until conviction rolls back around. I'll tell you, we need to understand that he convicts us. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Now, he not only convicts us of sin and of self, but he convicts us of our stewardship. You know, the only thing that God's pleased with is faith. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. And so you can do everything that you know to do and try to do it at your best and still not please God. Why? Because there's no faith. I can get up here and preach. I can preach one of the most blessed messages that ever preached, but if I got up here and preached just in my power and didn't have the faith to know that his word will not return into him void, I don't know who this is for tonight, but I do know this. God laid it on my heart. I'm going to preach it to the best of my ability and let God use the words. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not even trying to impress God. I'm just trying to be faithful. And the Bible says that in stewardship, it's just a required to be faithful, to be faithful in what God has given us. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I can tell you tonight, if you're convicted, if your heart is broken over sin, this is the best place you'll find to ever get it fixed up. You can wait till you get home, but the Spirit will not be dealing with you at that time if you're not careful. You need to come and get it right. Let God use you. And the last thing that the Holy Spirit does, I'm going to be through. My wife told me to tonight before I got up, she said, "Now remember, Brother Stewart didn't preach all that long this morning. So you need to," she said, "you need to keep it simple." You know, she and I said, "You mean kiss?" She said, "No." I said, "Keep it simple." Well, you know what they say, you know, keep it simple, stupid. You know, keep it. Now she said, "No, I mean keep it simple and short." Sometimes she may be the Holy Spirit, I don't know. But anyhow, the last thing that the Holy Spirit does in our lives, and I thank God for this, I thank God for the fact He constrains me and controls me and convicts me. But this last point is where we get our strength. The Bible says in John chapter number 14, verses 16 through 18, Jesus talking to His disciples, and He said, "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." The Holy Spirit is in our lives tonight comforting us. And I'm telling you, there's some things that there's just nobody can comfort you but the Lord. There's some strength, and I didn't understand this till just this past year. I've been a pastor for 17 years and preaching for 27, and associate pastor part of that time, full-time evangelism part of that time, and I never understood a lot about comforting people until I needed comforting myself. And I told my wife, I said, "You know, honey, I feel ashamed of myself." I said, "I've been at the bedside of countless of people and told them, just trust God, He's in control." And that's good. That's right. He is in control. But when your heart is broken and you're in despair, sometimes those words just don't help, preacher. When your loved one is laying there and you don't know whether they're going to pull through or not, and someone says, "Just trust God," and I do trust God, and I know God knows best, but those words didn't comfort my heart. And I pleaded and I begged with God. I said, "God, please give me peace. Please give me comfort. Give me understanding." And I prayed and I prayed and I wept and I cried, and it never come. You say, "What are you doing, preacher?" I'm telling you, sometimes God has to take you through some schooling. He brought me through that schooling and let me see His hand of grace and mercy through that. And then all of a sudden, all these granddaughters, we're thrilled because we have grandchildren and we've got grandboys and wanting some granddaughters. And then all of a sudden, we get the news that our daughter-in-law was having trouble and she may lose the baby. And our hearts broke. But God done something for me during that very moment that we got that news. There was some peace come that has never left. And I told my wife, I said, I don't understand why God didn't give me the peace back a few months ago. But now God has given me that peace and that comfort. And the words, "God is in control," comforts my heart now. It's not just words that is spoken, but it comforts my heart. And it blesses my heart to know that God is in control. And listen to me. Knowing God is in control, whatever He does. I hadn't come to that place yet, you see. My wife lay in the hospital and I thought she was dying, and I had no comfort because I didn't want her to die. You say, "Well, did you want your granddaughters to die?" No. But I knew that God knew best, and I turned them over to Him. And I said, "God, You're in charge. You're in control. And I'm just leaving them in Your hands." And God gave me that peace. Now, Listen, I can't explain that peace. I couldn't explain it to my daughter-in-law. She would say, she calls me Dad, and she said, Dad, how do you feel today? And I said, I've got peace. And she would take it and she would get encouragement from it. And I kept trying to explain to them, I don't mean that I know everything's going to be okay. Preacher, I knew this all along. It didn't mean that I knew everything was going to be okay, that we were going to be able to take our grandbaby home. I just knew God was going to do what was best, and I was accepting it, and I had peace. I had peace. Listen to me, friend. The only way that we can have true comfort is to truly be able to know that God does everything right. You can say the words, you can speak the words, but if that person that you're speaking to doesn't have the faith or the confidence, I'm telling you, it does no good. It will not comfort. But when you've got that peace in your heart and you've turned everything over to the Lord, the Holy Spirit gives you that peace I can't explain it. The next granddaughter come along. My daughter called and said, my water is broke and there's nothing they can do. I had peace. Said, you didn't fall apart? Oh, I wept. I cried. But in doing so, God allowed that peace to remain. And he let me know everything's going to be all right. Now, I didn't know the outcome. I didn't know whether she was going to live or die. But I just had peace. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand that. I can't explain it. I just know when we have faith, God gives us peace that passes all our understanding. I can't explain it to you, but that's a working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Just trust him. Just believe him. He knows best. He really does. It don't always turn out to our favor, we think. But when we get to heaven, we're going to understand that it was our favor. It was what God wanted, and it was best. I told my wife this. I said, God may look down the road. He knows every life. His foreknowledge is perfect. He may see down the road those two granddaughters may rebel and go off into rebellion and wreck their lives and die lost. And now, like David, I can't bring them back to me, but I know where they're at, and I can go to them. You see, I would rather lose them now as to lose them later. Amen. And God comforts our heart. He comforts your heart tonight. But when we have little faith, it's not much comfort. God, when we pray for God to increase our faith, we better get ready. Because he's going to increase it. And it's not going to be easy. You see, faith is the only thing that pleases him. May God bless you. Let's stand together. Pastor, you come.
Amen. God knows what we need when we need it. I believe he gave us tonight what we needed. Thank God for the preaching. Let's bow our heads just for a word of prayer. Father, you know our hearts. You know our needs. Thank you for the messenger and the message. Lord, you spoke to our hearts and we're thankful. I pray tonight that you'd help us all to do what we ought to do. We'll give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Looking this way while we sing, Brother Tim.